The salvation of souls is the highest law. Salus animarum suprema lex. Salvation, salus animarum, of souls, supreme lex law. The salvation of souls is the highest law. I'll continue where I left off last month, talking about Our Lady of Fatima, because Fatima is all about the salvation of souls. Our Lady came to save souls. This is why she showed the children hell. This is why she says many souls will go to hell, because no one prays and sacrifices for them. And if we look at our world compared to 1917, those were the good old days. Abortion was, I wouldn't say unknown, but certainly it was certainly not propagated or allowed, and so on. Contraception, same thing, and so on. My dear friends, and Our Lady says that most souls will go to hell, to the little to Jacinta, because of the sins of the flesh in all their various aspects. Now, I'm saying these things to you, not so much that I'm trying to make you, you know, you should be all aware of these things, but so that you will realize how serious the problem is, and when you have a chance, you to admonish the sinner. That's one of the spiritual works of mercy. Admonish the sinner. We have a job. I have a job. And God's going to say, why didn't you tell people? And I can't say, well, I wanted to be popular. My dear friends, thank the Lord if you're persecuted for telling the truth. So, and you also have to remember what the attitude. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for justice. That's what we have to do. Hunger and thirst, and we have to tell people about these sins, and they can't commit them. Because if they do, they're in danger of losing their soul for all eternity. St. Philip Neri tells us, so vast a number of miserable souls perish, and so comparatively few are saved. St. Alphonsus Liguori said, the common opinion is that the greater part of adults are lost. The greater part, that's even more than majority. St. Augustine said, it is certain that few are saved. It is certain that few are saved. Many are called, few are chosen. Many people do not realize that they are in mortal sin and in danger of losing their souls. They say, I'm a good person. I do not hurt anybody. Our Lady said at Fatima that many souls will go to hell, because no one prays and sacrifices for them. Our Lady came to Fatima primarily to save souls. She said that most souls go to hell because of sins of the flesh. St. Alphonsus Liguori, the patron of moral theologians, a doctor of the church, said that 90% of the souls in hell are there because of the sins of the flesh. She said also that many marriages are not good. They are not of God. But therefore God is joined together, let no man put asunder. Our Lady also, I should say, she told Sister Lucia, and Sister Lucia told Cardinal Caffara, that the final battle between the devil and Our Lady will be over marriage. And that's what's going on now today. Amoris Laetitia, the teaching there, again, blasphemous. How can people living in sin, divorced and remarried, without repentance, be allowed Holy Communion? This is certainly a sham. And we got war coming down the road with all the other things that are coming out of the Amazon Synod. She said that many fashions will be introduced which will be offensive to her son. Many souls commit sins of immodesty. They do not realize they are responsible for the sins they cause others. Any behavior, dress, or act which is done to excite others sexually is a serious sin. This includes those women who have breast implants to attract men, or dress unbecomingly, revealing that which should be concealed. And of course, all those people who are in the pornography industry, who pose for these pictures, who take these pictures, and whatever else they do. All that, they're responsible for all the sins. Think about all those people. Do they have a clue that they're committing terrible sins and they are responsible for the sins that they cause? Today, many people do not receive the blessings of the sacrament of marriage and live with partners. Or, of course, divorce and remarry somebody else without the benefit of the church and the sacraments. Many people in marriage do not want children that God wants to give them and commit mortal sin of contraception. In the 19th century, St. John Vianney said, "There are many women, and I would add men too, who are in hell today in the 19th century because they would not accept the children God wanted to give them." My dear friends, that is a big, big sin. I consider it the elephant in the room. We never hear about it. And we kind of talk about the elephant in the room. Look at the size of the elephant in the living room. He's a monster. And he's trampling everything, as it were. And people just don't care. They don't want to listen. And we don't talk about it enough in the church. We should be talking about it very frequently because it is a terrible sin. Especially in marriage courses, okay? Pope Pius XII said that with natural family planning, which is the big thing today, they always say, well, you can control your family with natural family planning. But Pius XII said, you need a serious reason to use natural family planning. Do they have a serious reason before God, who wants to bless marriages with children, the greatest gift that God can do, give us children to people this world and to go to heaven for all eternity? People don't realize the importance of bringing the children into the world that God wants to have in this world so that they can go to heaven and give glory to Him. Right? Give glory to them, my friends. This is a very serious thing. So natural family planning, you need a serious reason, right? You need a very serious reason to practice this and so on. Many women cooperate in the sin of abortion. This is the misuse of the talents that God has given them. God said, "Cursed is he who does the work of the Lord deceitfully." So those people in marriage who are contracepting, God has given them talents, procreative talents, the ability to bring children into this world. Husband and wife coming together in the most beautiful relationship in the world, not just for sexual pleasure, but for the procreation of children. The sexual pleasure is good. God has given us this sexual pleasure. But it's not the essence of it. The essence of this is to bring children into the world for all eternity. Right? Cursed is he who does the work of the Lord deceitfully. The marriage obligation or debt. In marriage, as you know, there's a debt, an obligation. Husbands have an obligation to give their wives sexual relations if the wife asks, and wives also have the obligation to give the husband. When a When a spouse asks for sexual relations, this is one you never hear about. All right? People say, I'm not in the mood, I don't feel like it, I'm not, no, I don't want it, blah, blah, blah. Unless they have a serious reason, a good reason, right, they commit sin because they force their spouse to seek other means to have the sexual pleasure that they wish to have in marriage, that they're entitled to. That's why it's called the marriage obligation or the marriage debt, the debt of spouses to one another. So people, yeah, and they work together. That's the unity of love. So when they come together in the unity of love, giving themselves to each other, then we have the unity of procreation coming in. And that's a beautiful system that God has given us. The unity of love and the unity of procreation. And the children will be born. I can't think of how many people I see here and there not having the large families that we used to have years ago. And they always say, we're not rabbits, we're not rabbits. Would to goodness we were rabbits. Then we could have more children. More children is given to God. Who knows what these children will do, right? And God would be glorified in heaven. So what do? They just have a boy, a girl, and after that's finished. I remember one story, very sad in a way. Right after Mass, a woman came with her three children, husband and wife, and I said to her, oh, what lovely children. They were 10, 8, and 7 years of age. Three boys. And I didn't say anything after that. I said, oh, what wonderful children. And she says, oh, I did my bit. That's enough for me. That's enough for me. And I said to her, I'm very glad my mother and father didn't say that because I was number 4. Very sad, my friends. So people don't realize how important it is. St. Paul tells us about the marriage debt. Let 1 Corinthians 7, 3-5. Let the husband render the debt to his wife, and the wife also in like manner to the husband. The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband. And in like manner, the husband also not power of his body, but the wife. Defraud not one another, except perhaps by consent, for a time, that you may give yourselves to prayer and return together again, lest Satan tempt you for your incontinency. So, there it is. 1 Corinthians 7, 3-5. Sexual sins are committed by teenagers. Had a discussion with a woman yesterday in confession. Her boy once has a girl, and he wants to bring her to the house. Bring him up to his bedroom, and I says, oh no, you can't do that, right? He's 17 years of age. First of all, he shouldn't even be having a girlfriend because unless he's married, thinking of marriage. That's what courting is all about. Courting is dating in preparation for marriage. And if you're not preparing for marriage and you say, oh, I'm too young, well, then you're too young to have a girlfriend. Because it leads to a lot of sins, of course. And of course, passionate kissing is a serious sin. We don't hear about that. Passionate kissing is a mortal sin, right? Because of the effects that happen because of it. The very setting the hormones in action. Passionate kissing. Tell your children that. Tell your nieces and nephews and your grandchildren. No girlfriend, no boyfriend, unless you're contemplating marriage. And Anthony Mary Claret says, courtship should only last 6 months. Not these extended courtships, 2, 3, 4 years, right? Because we can't afford to get married. You can't afford not to get married, because if you want to have the sexual pleasure of marriage, then you've got to be married. Otherwise, there's serious sins. I tell people, better you go get a glass of bleach, from thick bleach from the laundry, and swallow it, than you commit a mortal sin. That's better. Because mortal sin will condemn you to hell. Blessed Blanche, the mother of King Louis, said, I would rather have you dead in my arms than you commit a mortal sin. Think about that. How many people would say that to their children who are living with partners? I would rather have you dead in my arms than you commit a mortal sin. At least if you're dead in her arms, you're going to die without mortal sin, you'll go to heaven. If you die with mortal sin, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? Homosexuality, sodomy, is against God's plan of marriage between a man and a woman. Any sexual pleasure outside of marriage in the proper way for the procreation of children is a serious sin. There is no small matter in any sexual pleasure of thought, word, or deed outside of marriage. And don't... I just had a thought, I wonder. I just was about to say something, I lost it. That's what happens when you get old, my friends. You lose things. So, oh yes, there it is. It's just come back. Thank the Lord. Thank you, guardian angel. By the way, I always liked what I read about St. Augustine. He said we cannot even have a thought in our head without God's permission or will. So every thought in your head is not only known by God, he knows all things, but he gives them all thoughts. I just got the thought back in my head that I must tell you about this idea with, in fact, I just lost it again. Hopefully it comes to me. It's getting terrible. All right, I'll get back to it. Today, people promote transgenderism, which encourages men and women to change their sexuality. This is against God's plan for each person, giving them a particular sex at birth. So this is God's will. So you cannot do anything to your body that's going to be mutilated. So people don't realize that. That's an important thing. And my friends, by the way, all these sexual sins are tricks of the devil. He confuses us like he confused Eve, all right, eating the apple. Remember, he's a liar and a murderer. So he's confusing everybody these days. And we must stand up and say, no, it's enough already, it's enough. Too much with coming down from the various organizations to have transgenderism, transgenders, and all this stuff. It's awful. It's a plague on our society, and the devil has tricked us all. Today, people are involved in sexual trafficking to supply young people to satisfy the desires of others. Jesus had said, but he that shall scandalize one of these little ones that believe in me, it would better that he be a millstone around his neck than that he should be thrown into the sea, and he should scandalize one of these little ones whose angels see the Father in heaven. Oh, by the way, I just got that thought again. Promiscuity. People tell me, or I was told 30 years ago when I was teaching by a woman who had 7 children and taught religion in the Catholic school. She said to me that she has a friend who is in a loving relationship with a man, with another man. They're in a loving relationship. Isn't that nice? Lovey-dovey, the two of them. My dear friends, homosexuality and promiscuity go hand in hand. I read an article in those days about how promiscuous homosexual relationships are, and the partners have on an average of 100 liaisons, 100 other people with sex, for sex, in their life. 100 average for the year. So much for fidelity and a loving relationship. It's an abomination. And people say it's okay. It's okay. Let them be. No, They will go to hell for all eternity. And of course, once you become hard-hearted, my friends, another teaching of the Catholic Church, this is important, this is also related to sexuality, that's why I'm telling you this, all these things. I hope a few of them will add some more to me. I'm up to about number 25, 30, about 30 of these things, dealing with sexuality and sin. It's not that I'm preoccupied with these things, but I think you got to know them, okay? This is important. People don't realize how important it is. So there it is, promiscuity it is. All right, the other point is feigned ignorance and hardness of heart. They don't lessen guilt, but increase it. How about the many people who don't study their faith and are ignorant and want to be ignorant and they don't want to know the truth, so they pretend they don't know. They're even afraid to ask the priest in confession, which is what they should do. That's the easy way. If you don't know something, check with confession. Feigned ignorance and hardness of heart don't lessen guilt, increase it. I had a woman come to me in confession and didn't realize that contraception was a mortal sin. It was a mortal sin. So those people who are pretending to ignorance, pretending, feigned, and who are hard of heart, they increase their guilt. So a life of sin, day in and day out, year in and year out, and when you add up these sins after many, many years, it's unbelievable how they multiply into the hundreds and thousands of mortal sins. That's why we need to pray. And that's why we need a people, tell people. And this is why it's so wonderful in our Catholic faith to have confession where you can get your sins forgiven with the absolution of the priest. What a blessing. Just like that, 1,000 mortal sins, because you're sorry for them, are wiped away with the absolution of the priest. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, the prophet Isaiah tells us. So how blessed we are in to have, my friends, the forgiveness of sins. And by the way, remember that if you go to confession, your sins are forgiven, but they're also forgotten. God will not remember these sins again. I've been telling people about the warning and the illumination of conscience, where everybody will see their soul as God sees it. This has been given to us by various seers, and it's down the road coming, and that's another talk I'll give you, but that's not here. But one thing that's beautiful about that is that if you have been to confession and all your sins were forgiven, they will not be brought up in the warning or the illumination of conscience, because they're not on your soul. How blessed that is. Right? And what about all these other people with thousands and thousands of sins, and they're going to see their souls as God sees them with all their sins? My friends, it will be horrendous. A revelation of conscience, which is a great mercy from God, how at a special time he will tell people that they will see that they will have, God will come and everybody in the world will see their soul as God sees them. That's the illumination of conscience, aka, also known as, the warning. Now, the illumination of conscience is a little more sober, the warning is a little more frightful, but it is a warning for some people, and it's so great a warning that some people who are so immersed in sin, at the warning, it could kill them. Not meant to kill them, it's meant to wake them up. But there's so many sins in our world, especially for some of the people we've already alluded to. Okay? How souls, okay. Today people, like sexual trafficking, we talked about that, dissatisfied. Jesus, if I said that already, the former mayor of New York City, Rudy Giuliano, said that the biggest pedophile ring, it was in Washington, D.C. The next was in London. All these people catering to the elites and their sexual pleasures. How are souls to have their sins forgiven if they do not go to confession? How are they going to overcome a lifetime of sin? This is why it is important for people to make a good confession. If anyone keeps a mortal sin secret, the confession is not valid, and they commit a mortal sin of sacrilege. And if they go to communion with mortal sin, it's also a sacrilege. How blessed we are to be Catholics and have our sins forgiven. The great English writer Gilbert Keith Chesterton said, "I wanted to join a church in which my sins would be forgiven." This is why we need to evangelize, and this is why we need to get people to become Catholics, because where else are they going to get rid of their sins? What a blessing it is. We take it for granted. Padre Pio said to people who don't go to confession, how careless we are, careless. Also, we forgot to mention, but permanent sterilization. Contraception is wrong, of course, but some people, in order to be sterilized, in order to not to have children, will get sterilized. Women with tubal ligations, men with vasectomies. These are serious sins, right? Another little thing there, if you have, a woman told me years ago, her husband got a, they had six children, so without her knowledge, he got a vasectomy. She was devastated. She was such a holy woman. And implied in that, of course, is that's a contraceptive relationship now. They can't have sex unless he reverts it, changes the vasectomy, or the woman has her tubes untied. They were tied, now they should be untied, and the same way with the man. So if they want to continue sexual relations, they have to fix that up. See how easy it is to get, it's not so easy, excuse me. They easily do it, the vasectomies and the tubal ligations, but they do not revert them too often, and it's a difficulty. But this is what is important, that we have all relations in marriage be open to life. And Pope John Paul said, all right, that contraception is so intrinsically evil, it cannot be practiced for any reason whatsoever. For all these foregoing sins, it now can be seen why the saints said that few souls are saved. We must pray and sacrifice for souls, especially those in our own family. We need to have people pray the Holy Rosary, as Our Lady will give souls the grace to ask for forgiveness. I recommend, believe it or not, in this time of great crisis, just look around at what's going on at the Vatican and Rome and so on, is that you pray the Rosary morning, noon, and night. Not just one a day, morning, noon, and night. Because we are in, as many people have said, one of the greatest crises the Church has ever seen. And after this last synod, I don't know what's happened, because we've now promoted idolatry in the Vatican, right? Promoting idolatry. That's a sin that God condemns, of course, terribly, terribly. Right? That's why it's important that we don't adore God. One of my favorite quotes is Romans 1:20 and following. And so they are without excuse, seeing they knew God, they didn't glorify God, but became vain in their reasonings, and their senseless mind is darkened. Romans 1:20 and following. A very, very important quote. All right, what does that have to do with idolatry? Because when you don't honor God and you don't glorify God, you are practicing idolatry, because you glorify yourself and you praise yourself, as it were. And because of that, God gives you two punishments. You become vain, foolish in your reasoning. There's no God. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. You don't have to be a Catholic. One religion is as good as another. You don't have to go to church. Right? You can go to the woods and pray to God, with the God of nature, blah, blah, blah. Or your mind is darkened. Right? And then God hands you over, because you're idolatrous, he hands you over to the lustful desires of your heart. Men with men doing shameless things, and women exchanging that which is natural for that which is unnatural. All that was said by St. Paul 2,000 years ago in the Epistle to the Romans, a most important thing. And that's why purity is so important, to keep pure and chaste. And that's why the Lord said, blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. They will see God in heaven, of course, but you will not see God on earth unless you are pure of heart. You'll never see God acting and operating, because you can't. You're blinded, right? We know that the church also teaches a perfect act of contrition, which is sorrow for our sins, because one loves God and can have sins forgiven. Think of the good thief on the cross, which Jesus was promised. And Jesus said to him, amen, I say to you, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Also St. Mary Magdalene, from whom seven devils were expelled, was praised by Jesus for her love. Wherefore I say to thee, many sins are forgiven her, because she has loved much. But to whom less is forgiven, he loveth less. I mention this because hopefully there will be people who will have their sins forgiven because they have offended God, right? So we can't just say that only Catholics will get to heaven. We don't know. Let us hope and pray. I have so many dear friends who are non-Catholic, and so were so good. I just hope somehow or other that they have their sins forgiven. And this is what we need to do. This is why it's so important, as I said, tell them to become a Catholic. Where are they going to get rid of their mortal sins? Where? And this is the most wonderful thing in the world, to have our sins forgiven. We need to thank God for this and go to confession, read frequently, at least once a month, especially for the first Saturdays. I'm sorry this is so long today, but I hope it was important. I don't know if you hear these things too often, but I gave it my best shot. Alright? My best shot. I hope it's helpful. If you have any questions, I'm here. I'll be around afterwards. I'm going to say Mass after this Mass, because today we have the beautiful privilege of saying three Masses. I've said two already, and I have one more to go. I'm going to do it after this Mass, and I'll see you later on at lunch or whatever, with a little coffee or tea, whatever, for everybody. So again, thank you all for being here. God bless you on this horrendous day that we're having today. God bless you for being here, and keep up the good work with the First Saturdays. And by the way, don't give up the First Saturdays. I've been doing the First Saturdays since I heard about it when I was in the 8th grade in 1950. I've been doing it. And I hope that God and Our Lady will give my surplus to some other people. Because there are people who say that you could do 5 for yourself, and then you can take another set of 5 and do it for somebody else, maybe your wife, your son, your daughter, your husband, whatever, and ask Our Lady to bless them, because you've done the First Saturdays for them. So that's a wonderful custom. Sister Lucia said she loved when the First Saturdays came around. This was a special, special day to give Our Lady this wonderful gift that she has requested, to keep the 5 First Saturdays. God bless you, and thank you for listening.